When I'm in a strange town or even a strange neighborhood and I'm looking for a place to eat, I take out my phone. It's easier than ever to find a place, to read reviews and book a table using apps produced by OpenTable, Yelp, and Seattle-based Urban Spoon. Patrick O'Donnell is the co-founder and senior software developer at Urban Spoon. They were founded in 2006, but really took off with the iPhone app a couple years later. They've grown from 3 employees to 100. They have some 20 million users. It's the app that's got that cool shake feature that allows you to find a nearby restaurant. There's a phrase among software companies called eat your own dog food, which means people at the company use the software. And if you go to the staff page at Urban Spoon, you can see them each chowing down at their favorite places, including Seattle's You Need a Burger. And Patrick, you're eating pizza on that, but it doesn't say which pizza you're eating.
I love pizza generally.
Okay.
So I think I happened to take that picture at a place I didn't necessarily want to give a plug to in my profile picture.
Okay. But, generically, you like
generically,
pizza.
Generically, I love pizza.
What's the hardest part about making Urban Spoon the default restaurant app for people? It's not as though there aren't other people in your space.
Right. excuse me. There are a lot of choices for people for looking for a restaurant. I think they all take a different approach.
Yeah.
Urban Spoon's approach from the very beginning was to try to gather all the voices that that are talking about a restaurant, whether it's the local paper, the weekly, bloggers, users, and bring it all together in one place. We've also integrated, if you use Facebook to connect, you can find out what your friends think of a restaurant as you're browsing around, or you can see what that restaurant said recently on Twitter. Anyway, I think we're the only ones that really bring all that together, where other sources, maybe it's a straight editorial voice that they've hired a writer to write about that restaurant, which is one very trusted voice. But with ours, I think we give you a lot of good voices.
It sounds as though they're new entrants into it. I think you guys and Yelp are probably the preeminent ones. You've been around the longest, and I would guess you're on most people's phones. But there's this group called Choosy, and they help you order when you get to the restaurant. And even places like Groupon now have these instant deals, so you can pull up and see where you're going to get a little coupon nearby you. Is this still a very competitive area?
It is. I mean, there are entrants coming into the space all the time. You mentioned Choosy. There are several others sort of in that vein, and it's There are a lot of components that are hard to get momentum around, even if you have a clever idea. You need to develop consumer awareness. You need to develop a lot of data. It's hard to keep up to date on which restaurants are open, what are the menu items. And keeping all that data fresh and interesting is definitely hard, and a lot easier to do as you get as you get 20 million users, as you said. And that's where most of our rich data comes from, those users sort of making sure we don't miss anything.
Patrick, do you think the technology is mature, or do you think there are going to be some kind of big changes in what people look at when they pull out their phones and they're trying to find a restaurant? Is it just kind of variations on what we already know, or there's something big on the horizon?
I think part of the hardest part of it is a lot of the data behind all of these apps is the very fluid business of restaurants. I mean, their hours change constantly. Their menus change seasonally. They open and close all the time. So it's, and they're run by individual operators. So maybe you could do big, interesting things like Starbucks is doing very interesting things because they have this sort of captive audience of, all of their stores. So they can do very interesting things with a consumer app, like, mm-hmm. Have your prepaid card or whatever. But for restaurants, for if you want to cover everything from the taco stand to the fine dining establishments, it's hard to get all that together.
And how do you keep up with all that? It's a monthly magazine that I will not name, but I was reading through it the other day, and it has a glowing review of a barbecue restaurant in my neighborhood of Ballard, which has closed like 3 weeks ago. Occasionally you'll see that with an app. How do you keep up with all the changes that restaurants go through? As you mentioned, it's a complicated, rapidly moving area.
Yeah. We do try to use technology whenever possible. We crawl a variety of sources that report on when restaurants open and when restaurants close. But again, the biggest source is users. So if you happen to shake your phone and land on a restaurant that closed last week, you could very easily right there tell us that restaurant's closed. And we have some customer service layers to make sure people don't act maliciously, but users in general give us good data, and we rely on that to help keeping the service better.
But you're a bit different than Yelp, though, which relies on user reviews. And it's, you can kind of count on them, you can't kind of count on them. You don't know when someone's just going out to trash something because they want to trash something, or whether it's the owner's 10 friends who gave it 5 stars. So there's a little uncertainty when you look at those reviews. So how do you rely on not only telling people where the restaurant is, what it serves, and when it's open, but how good it is?
Right. Well, one thing we do is that we do try to include the newspapers and the bloggers, who I think, you know, they sometimes rant and rave too, but I think they're you can more trust that they're not the former employee trashing the place,
or you know who they are.
The owner's brother who loves the place.
Right.
So for that kind of stuff, I think users can look at all that in context. And even if you're looking at a user review, you can very easily see, are they a longtime user who's left a lot of reviews, or do they come in, leave one really positive or one negative review and leave?
Mm-hmm.
We occasionally see really malicious activity where people try to really drive up or down the vote count or positive review comments. So we try to catch the very obvious stuff. But if you just come in and leave one mildly negative or mildly positive review, the reader can hopefully suss that out with the context.
So people haven't used it before. Let's give a demonstration of how it works. The feature that everybody comments on with Urban Spoon is that you can set a couple of variables. So let's set the university district as our neighborhood, and let's set $1 as our how much we want to pay, because the university district is famous for having inexpensive restaurants. Let's shake it up and see what you get. Okay. All right, and the winner is Thai Tom, almost across the street from KUOW. So this is telling me that it's a Thai restaurant, it's going to be cheap, and it's in the university district. Now, how about if I want to find out if anybody likes Thai Tom? What do I do then?
Well, you just click through on it, and it will then give you all of the basic information about it. You know, right up front, we'll give you its yellow page information, address, phone number, but we'll also tell you how many of the people on Urban Spoon have voted and like it.
Mm-hmm.
And as you scroll down, you can start to read the critic reviews, bloggers, user reviews, see photos of it.
And it's got 84% of Thai Tom. Very popular place. Hard to get a seat there at noontime. Now, you know, also the health department evaluates restaurants, and occasionally we get pinged with a restaurant closure because of certain things. Do you roll that into what you have about restaurants?
I'll admit that a few years ago we had a big feature we worked on for a few weeks called Mr. Yuck. Nobody's ever seen this feature. We crawled all the major health departments of all the big cities in the U.S., and we gathered fascinating data, you know, their score, when they were last tested, sort of itemized things that they were marked in their reviews. And we realized, well, first of all, every restaurant had a report. And no matter how clean you are, the report is very unappetizing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not talking about stuff that you want to think about while you're deciding if to go to a restaurant.
Yeah.
So in the end, we decided it slanted so negative that we didn't want to make people coming to Urban Spoon not want to go out to eat at all.
Even for restaurants that scored well, there was some unappetizing things there
that
might have kind of turned people off.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm speaking with Patrick O'Donnell. Maybe you have his software on your phone, Urban Spoon. It's a way that a lot of folks use to try to find a place to go out to eat. Your parent company is called City Grid Media, and it's an advertising group. And they recently announced they were cutting 15% of the staff. Understand that did not affect you guys?
That's correct. I mean, we were, as you point out, we were acquired by IAC, Barry Diller's company, about 3 years ago. And they own many, many brands. They own Match.com and Vimeo and lots of companies. So anyway, their strategy is not to try to mush everybody together as one big company working towards a common force like an Amazon or a Microsoft or a Google. They much more just sort of find brands. They feed them resources and try to make them do more interesting things. So Urban Spoon is really still a fairly standalone entity.
Yeah.
We happen to be connected structurally to City Grid, but we're really an independent thing that sort of succeeds and fails on our own.
We mostly have been talking about Urban Spoon as the consumer device, but you also are working on replacing the restaurant paper and electronic reservations book. You've got a service called ResBook that you're competing with OpenTable on to make that happen. So who are your customers anyway? Are your customers the people who have the app, the restaurants, and you also have advertisements? Who are you working for?
That's a good question. I mean, for the first 3 years, we were definitely all about the consumer, trying to figure out how to connect people with the right restaurant that was near them and good. But when we entered the reservation space, our initial impetus was with the shake screen. People would complain to us, I shake it and it tells me to go to a restaurant where I can't possibly get in.
Mm-hmm.
They're booked out for weeks. So we realized that one of the key pieces of information we were missing was just availability data. When can you get into this restaurant? And just the nature of the space, we realized the only way we could get that data in the way we wanted was to actually build our own reservation service.
Mm-hmm.
So
now you're working with restaurants.
Yeah, so now we're working with restaurants, and our current product is an iPad app that you may find in restaurants around Seattle, like Matt's in the Market or Lark. And they uh, they basically have a layout of their tables, and they can tell you they can set up on their iPad exactly when they've got availability, and that will immediately be reflected to consumers wherever you are.
Patrick, thanks so much for telling us about what's going on at Urban Spoon. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Patrick O'Donnell, the co-founder of that company based here in Seattle that gives restaurant information out around the world. I'm Ross.